Welcome to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Rob. Join me and my friends, Mike.
I thought I was second this week.
And Lou?
If you ain't first, you're last, baby. Woo!
Well, Mike, I hate to break to you. You were, in fact, second, because I went first, and then you. But, you know, I get what you're saying. This week, we're going to start the podcast a little differently. We're going to have a one-minute rage room for Mike to rage about something. Your minute is on the board.
I don't know that that was quite what I meant by rant. I more meant just, like, take a topic. I'm going to throw something out there, and then we can discuss.
Oh.
Definitely not angry about it. A little miffed, I suppose.
A rant room.
Yeah, so I think that girls have been, like, hiding all the best stuff under the guise of, like, it's a girl thing. So I when Kyle was in town last, hot Kyle, for those who are confused, we had some time to burn before a previous engagement, and we were looking for something to do, and he was like, hey, I got to grab some socks at some point. Do you mind if we stop by Target? And I was like, brother, there's a Walmart right up the road. You could save a gazillion dollars by getting socks from Walmart because they're just freaking socks. But sure, we can go to Target. And, you know, we just walked around in the men's clothing section for like 20 minutes and looked at different shirts and talked about styles that we like. And I was like, this was really fun. I could go on a bros shopping trip sometime. And then up at camp, I spent a decent amount of time at the pool, but just sitting there in the sun, working on my tan. And I was like, this isn't exclusively a girl's thing, but it's more often than not, it's girls sitting by the pool, guys in the pool. And then, you know, there's the whole thing with, like, fruity drinks. I just think, in general, guys have been missing out on a bunch of really fun activities and labeling them girl things. And I'm starting to rethink that. Discuss.
I was very worried about what you're going to say when you just said
the girl.
I'm like, are we going to get some incel talk here? Like, what's going on? Lou and I are going to have to, you know. Be like, what?
I thought it was going to be funny immediately. I have heard myself giggle, and I giggled like a little girl.
I did too. It was fantastic.
So, giggling like a little girl, is that something women are hiding?
Giggling potentially.
I mean, the only I would disagree with some of that. Those examples specifically, but I mean, yeah, I don't think there should be really too much, you know, that's a girl thing or that's a guy thing. I don't think it really should matter. You know, you do you type thing for the most part. So,
I don't know. I haven't really put a lot of thought into this. I do think drink wise, I do not understand. I like bitter stuff. I like bitter coffee. I do not understand like hoppy beer. Mm-hmm. I do not understand like, I don't really drink very much, but if I am drinking, I want something nice and sweet and palate cleansing. Or nice, I guess. I don't know.
Palatable.
Palatable is what I'm trying to say. Correct. Yeah, I feel like men just enjoy suffering sometimes. You know?
It's a guy thing.
It's like a guy thing. It's like suffrage. Like pain.
Suffrage, a classic dude thing, yes.
Sorry. I'm sorry if I'm sounding ignorant. Hashtag ignorant. I don't know. Yeah.
Are in the local area and want to go shopping with someone or too afraid to go alone, hit Mike up.
I'll tell you what, shopping me and Lou will go shopping. We'll make a video. We'll let you know how it goes.
I can only shop a couple places, brother. I don't know.
Why? Were you kicked out?
Places that you're going is, I'm assuming, is not the places you that I am going.
Yeah, Target, not the biggest, not the most friendly to big guys.
Yeah.
You know what? That could be a fun twist on the video.
Where's my representation?
Bit leashed in a tiny shirt.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
All right, so before we hop into it, just want to let you guys know, this coming Saturday, we're having a Top Podcast Commander Night. Basically, what that means is myself and Becca and some other people will be playing Commander on Tabletop Simulator. If you're interested in doing that, all you need is Tabletop Simulator, and then you can pull any Magic the Gathering deck for Commander off of Archdeck or Moxfield. Then just join our Discord, and we'll hit it up there Saturday. I believe that is the 21st, if I have my dates. Or sorry, the 26th. So it's in 2 Saturdays from this time of recording, but it will be this upcoming Saturday now. So join the Discord for fun times and just other fun times. We get to talk about games like, oh gosh, what was that one game that I just sent? It was some 2000s like Flash game. Anyways, good times. Get some nostalgia trip. Mike, what are we doing a deep dive about today?
Yeah, this week we're going to do a deep dive on worship music, our experiences with worship music, the state of worship music, what we think could be done better. Just, you know, a deep dive on worship music.
All right, do you want to kick us off with, we wanted to talk about kind of what is the purpose of worship and the corporate worship as a whole, which I guess for most people, because I kind of have a vague sense of what corporate worship means. You want to give at least your definition of that, being more, you know, you've done a lot of worship on worship teams before.
Yeah, so it turns out it's a more complex topic than I think a lot of people think about. So corporate worship, in simple terms, would be the act of the congregation engaging in worship songs. Just that, you know, we're all singing the same thing. At its core, that's all it is, right? It's just we're all singing the same song. That's corporate worship. We're engaging in this act of worship together as the body of the church. The purpose and the more granular definition is where it starts getting complicated. It's been around a decade since I did the reading and the research to arrive at this answer, so I really cannot cite my sources any longer.
Trust me, bro.
A little bit. But for me, the way I define it, and that's all I'm claiming this is, at one time this was an informed opinion, now it's just an opinion, is I think that the purpose of worship, or like the definition of worship, is really any act that reflects the character or the story of God. And so I think worship does that by the lyrical elements. And so the choices for songs are important because, in my opinion, for it to count as a worship song, it has to either reiterate the story of God or the character of God. What do you guys think when you think worship?
You can go, Lou.
Oh, sorry, brother. That was well spoken. I feel unprepared. What exactly? I like songs. Songs are good. I like,
how do you define, like, and this is the thing, and really it's, like, I know that you probably feel awkward right now. Most people haven't really thought about it. Like, if you just go up to a random person at church and are like, define worship, the odds are they're going to be like,
singing.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So is that something you've considered? Is, you know, do you have like a definition in your head for like, this is worship, this isn't worship?
Yes. Okay. I understand. Are we saying worship altogether or worship as in like singing? Are we talking about the
musical worship?
Yeah.
Musical worship.
Yeah. Gotcha. So like, do not be conformed. This is your spiritual act of worship would not be something we're taking into consideration.
Okay. Worship for me is not thinking about how I sound or what song is being sung or what key it's in or if somebody misses like a drum beat. It is just, I don't think I've ever shared this before. When I was younger and I started worshiping, I had a really hard time with being like insecure about like singing and being around other people who were singing better than me. And I literally had to picture myself in a all white room just by myself, and it is white as like as possible. When I'm closing my eyes, that's how I see it. And then I'm just singing. I remember most of the we've been singing the same songs for what, like 2 good worship songs come out each year that get put in rotation. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I've been singing the same songs since I was like 13, 15, 14 years old. So I know all the songs. and I just close my eyes and I just belt it. And there was a guy that used to go to Life Church, and he had the worst voice I have ever heard.
I have a story about him, actually.
I think we've told on the pod.
Have I told on the pod?
When you were on the stage?
Yeah.
Somewhere deep down.
Yes, that was a long time ago. That was a little bit ago, but yes. And I was like, oh, if he can sing, brother, I can sing. And it helped me. It helped me so much as a child. And that's how I see worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like it. Rob, what do you got?
Yeah, so the corporate worship is the kind of what you said, the group of believers coming and, you know, worshiping through a musical way. And I guess, you know, some people, if you're of the more charismatic thing, could also be like dancing would also be part of that worship. But for me, it's you're stuck to your seat or pew, and at most you might get a bob or something or some hand raised. But yeah, for the most part, it's just the church, the body of the church itself together singing praises to the Lord. And yeah, I agree with Lou. Like, some of the best worship is when you can, I don't really know how to phrase this, but when you let go of like everything and you're just focusing on God and your relationship with God, and you know, sing out with Him. And I'm sure we're going to touch on that later, but that's, you know, I think the pure act of that style worship.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to corporate worship. I don't know if you've said this, I think, or other people said it, but corporate worship in general kind of has to be easy, so any church can kind of pick it up and play it.
It should be. It
should be easy.
I definitely agree that it should be easy, but I'm sure we'll get that feels like something we're going to get to in a bit. Right. We have a designated negative zone, and I can already feel that that's where that belongs.
All right. Well, I guess, what are some worship songs you like? What are some of your goated ones? And start there. Things you like, aspects about those worship songs.
Oh man.
You can just say the discography of John Mark McMillan. I will accept that.
I mean, no, definitely not the discography. I don't think that the discography of John Mark McMillan is
they're not all worship songs.
Good for corporate worship.
No.
I think he's got a lot of great songs about Jesus, and not all of them are compatible for a group of people trying to sing along.
Yep, Love Carolina Tide, not a corporate worship song.
Yeah, I wish it was, though. Oh, that song slaps. I mean, for me, I think How He Loves is always going to be an all-time favorite. I think it's kind of burnt out for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Dylan did this thing where we plugged in the first couple verses of Nothing But, or just the first verse and the first chorus of Nothing But the Blood. Which is interesting because the two songs are in different time signatures. One's in 4-4, one's in 3-4. But it's not that hard. It actually flows really simply to switch Nothing But to Blood to I believe it's to 4-4. And it does this really cool thing where you do the verse, and then you do the chorus, and then you go back, and you just build the whole time. You kind of do this as a bridge for How He Loves. And you can come out of that, the last line of what could wash away our sins, nothing but the blood. Oh, it's nothing but the blood, how He loves us. And it just like, it just happens. And it's like the way it just kind of, I don't know how Dylan did it, but the way he arranged it, it just feels like you get pressed into a cannon and just shot out into that last chorus of How He Loves. And you're just like, I love that. And I don't think I've ever had a moment where I was like, oh, I've never heard this before, but I can tell exactly where it's going, and I love it, before we even got there. And so that's one that I've just never really stopped enjoying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always loved those kind of, I think it was Stephen was the head the worship leader, right, during that era of Life Church.
Or
was that later? I guess with Dylan, it might have been late. That would have been later.
It was close. I don't know if Stephen had taken over yet or not. But when I heard Dylan do that, I think it.
Okay.
I think it was around the time Stephen was either there or would be showing up shortly.
Yeah. Because I really liked. I don't know if it was him specifically, but under his, that's when I went to the Life Church, was when he was leading it. But they do that for a few songs. I know there was it was Brokenness Aside and something else, and they would just kind of do like these mashups, and I always loved that part. I obviously, that was the only church that I've known to do that, but I love that part of worship where yeah. you're just like, man, I didn't realize how well those could go to blend together.
Right. And I'm always so much more open to adding a hymn to a contemporary song than adding contemporary music to a hymn. I always get annoyed when we add contemporary stuff to hymns, but I really like adding hymns into contemporary stuff.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Lou? What are some aspects of worship you like?
Aspects of worship?
Or you can just give us some songs.
Or a song.
Yeah.
You okay.
Answer a song question.
I feel half mashed, guys. We're going to do 10,000 Reasons is pretty good. Right? Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, 10,000
Reasons. It's a song.
Forevermore.
I'm more of a 10 billion.
10 billion reasons?
What is that? 100 million? Is it 100 million times?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
Billion times? I don't know. That's my preferred song with a big number in it. But 10,000 Reasons is a classic.
Oh, the So Will I, right? The yeah, it's
yeah, billion, yeah.
100 billion times.
I think that's what yeah.
Times. I like it all, man. There's only like, I don't know. There's none that I don't like. I wow. think. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard the Newsboys?
They're not. I wouldn't say they're corporate worship though.
I've had a lot of Newsboys forced down my corporate worship throat.
I don't know if I do know it. There's one with Cheerios in it that I just can't stand. What?
I'm sorry, what? Yeah.
If you're sweeping up Cheerios or if you're flipping burgers, praise Jesus or something like that. That one. That one can kick rocks. That one is all not right. made from
Lou,
God. That's
Lou,
made
from the dumb. Lou, we are in our you know good parts of worship thing. Save the kicking rocks.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
So
oh my gosh.
I have a hot take. I don't want to know. I know it's a hot take because I think most people, it was a trend in like mid-2000s that I think most people got tired of. I loved like the ambient style that they added to guitar, like worship, like the ambient guitars and the synths and everything. I love that. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't hate it. I'm just kind of over it at this point. Like I feel like so many worship songs are just reverb drenched electric guitar and the synth pad for 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like they get big enough in the recording to justify it.
Mm-hmm.
So like in person, sometimes, you know, it'd be real airy and ambient at the beginning and it would kind of coalesce into this like climactic moment where you'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like because it was all airy, we've earned this big moment.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. But like when it's a recording, that's something that happened to me a bunch is I'd hear a song at church and be like, oh, I like this song. And then I'd look up the recording and I'd be like, I don't like this song anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So live, I could get behind it sometimes. But it just seems like that kind of Hillsong thing just went forever and hasn't yet died. And I'm like, come on guys.
Yeah, it's been a decade. I don't really hear it that often anymore.
Maybe I've just got bad luck and have just gone from churches on different timelines. I also do not listen to a lot of new worship music anymore. So that could be part of the problem.
I also love just a really good build.
Like a Fortnite?
Yes.
What's a Sith? It's not, I'm assuming it's not.
It's synthesized. It's like a piano with, you know, kind of more electronic sound would be the best way to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it so when, like.
They hit, like, the keys and it's like.
Okay. I think it's funny when. I think it's funny when, like, the pastor's about to finish the sermon.
They come out.
Mm-hmm. And then they'll hop on the keys and they'll do that sound. Is that what you guys are talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Brother, hey, it is so funny to me because then the pastor has to, like, speak up louder and he'll start like chill and then he'll have to like and it sounds like we're in a club sometimes and then the pastor has to like scream at us, hey, come to church next week because somebody's like killing on those keys. That's pretty funny.
So, fun story about that. I was on worship team once, and my dad was like, hey, this is your cue. When I say this, and I start talking about this, I want you to come up and just pluck out some, like, real chill acoustic guitar behind me. I was like, yeah, man, I got you. Dude neglects to mention he's going to do that twice in his message. And so I come up and proceed to play 10 minutes of chill acoustic guitar behind the guy. And, like, at minute 5, I was like, it's too awkward to go back down, but, like, what do I do? And afterwards, he was like, yeah, no, my bad. Next time, I was like, yeah, I figured it out. Thanks.
You, like, pull out a cigarette and be like, Dad, this is ridiculous.
Was that in a multiple, a weekend where there's multiple sermons, or was it the one-time thing?
It was a multi-service Sunday, so second service went much smoother. But yeah, that was super awkward. I was like, dude. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I got up there early enough. He should have, like, I don't know if he just didn't see me coming. He should have been like, he should have just fallen on the sword and be like, I gave him the wrong cue. You're going to want to go sit back down. Like, it was so painfully awkward.
Hey, I'm sure he sounded epic, though, during that 10 minutes.
I didn't know what to do. I was like, do I play the same thing for 10 minutes straight, or do I have to, like, kind of come to a slow end and then move into a new song? Like, do I make it in a new key? What do I, like? Oh, it was horrible.
And that's actually how I got the intro for this podcast, was on the stage.
Just endlessly picking a guitar, desperately looking for something interesting.
You start, like, scatting. You start doing other, like, forms of...
My fingers are fire, Dad. You wouldn't have a microphone, so you just, like, hear it from the back.
There was another week where I filled in. I legitimately had not played guitar in like a year and a half. And they're like, hey, can you cover? And I was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, they were like, hey, can you play guitar after the set when we're praying? And I was like, yeah, sure thing. And I swear to you, she just kept praying longer and longer service. And so, like, the last service, my fingers are dying. And I was just like, I'm sitting up there, like, visibly cringing with each note. And I'm just like, stop praying, please.
Hey, man. She's here, John.
Yeah. Yeah, that was brutal. But
so just a couple other...
All right, so here's a question.
Go for it.
What do you guys think the purpose of the worship's time in the service is, or should be?
I think if you're going for the general purpose, is it's supposed to help you reflect and kind of become more receptive to what's going to, like, get in the right mind state for, you know, hearing the word, and, you know, you're open to it. You know, you kind of had that, like Lou said, it kind of lets go of all whatever to get into this mindset of worship. So then you're ready for when the preacher comes out. It's not like you were thinking about all this stuff and now you have to sit and listen to a sermon. No, it kind of preps you for it.
I think that, yeah, that's the right answer. I don't see any other... I mean, I don't love singing in front of so many people. It's not the thing that... I don't wake up every Sunday and go, you know what I would love to do? You know?
I will say, when I asked my wife and I generally talk about this, she said she does love it when, you know, she can hear, like, the whole audience, all that worshiping. So there are some of those people out there.
I do enjoy that as well, where it's like... There's something about the gang vocal, just the crowd. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're up in the front and you can just hear everybody, like, the people who can't really sing kind of just get washed into just the mm-hmm. the generally, like, okay, can hold a tuneness of the average person.
And sometimes they'll pump, like, they'll have microphones over the crowd and, you know, have it turned up mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah, so yeah, the ambient microphones, that's mm-hmm. called. Yeah, it's a cheater move. They take the crowd noise and they pump it back in to make it feel more like... Because it is easier to sing loud when it feels like other people around you are singing loudly. Like, if it feels like everyone around you is quiet, there's this natural kind of shyness where it's like, ah, I don't want to be that guy that can take over. But yeah, in general, I agree. I think the purpose is just to get your heart aligned with God. I think there's kind of two purposes, but I think one of them's been lost. I think... there's the worship element where it's exactly what you're saying. You're saying these words, you're theoretically reflecting back the story of God, and that's bringing your mind to a place of meditation on who God is and what he's done. And it just makes you more receptive to hear the word. But I think that the genre used to be called praise and worship for a reason. I was thinking about this today. I haven't made a deep study of song worship in the Bible. I feel like most of it takes place in the Old Testament. And most of the examples I could think of were usually kind of
going to war, baby.
Well, it was going to war, but it was like, so the first one I can think of is right after the Red Sea, right? They sing the horse and rider song, and it's, they're praising God and being like, wow, look how amazing you are. And so I think there is that element where, like, we focus on, it's about getting our hearts lined up with God, but it's also just about trying to elevate the name of God and to praise him. And, like, I don't know how that component seems to have started to get, like, lost in our heads. But that's something I was realizing today, is I think that it has. Like, so I think those are kind of the two components.
I would argue there's a third one that's, like, so it's like a bonding and like can not like companion, but like a bolstering. Because the times you do hear about it in the New Testament, it's like, hey, they were in jail singing hymns. Mm-hmm. Like it was that, like they're doing it as a comforting thing as well. So there's, I think there's that third aspect.
That's fair. It is like it brings you as a group. There's a communal element that you know brings you know the body of the church together. And so I just feel like we needed to have that element in before we discussed anything potentially negative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any point being like, oh, these are the things we don't like if not understanding of what is this thing supposed to accomplish. And I don't think any of us want to just be out here bashing worship. I think we want to be examining.
Well, that one song can kick rocks. So.
Yes, I agree. Screw burger flippers and Cheerio sweepers.
No. I like burger flippers. Cheerios are okay.
Hates the blue collar.
hate service workers.
I needed something new. I was getting really tired of being a woman hater.
Up there in his ivory tower.
Yeah. So, Rob, I know you have some strong opinions about a certain trend in worship.
So this is something that I've dubbed it this. I don't know if this is, if anyone else, maybe I got it inspired from someone else, but I feel like even among smaller churches, there's been this mega churchification of worship. And kind of when I was sitting before a podcast, this is kind of what I came to me. It's like the focus appears to be on produced less professional sound / look over authentic worship. So, you know, you got your fancy lights, your fog machine, you got your pumped in background instruments of all that, which is another side tangent, but it's like, it's definitely more produced and it looks like what you would expect out of mega church. And I think the shiny, super produced, almost scripted worship takes away from the aspect. So maybe that's also just part of me and some of my, you know, history with that kind of behind the scenes with that style of worship. So maybe I have more of a vendetta, I say, against that look, but I think it's just not needed. When I went back to Michigan, we went to my father-in-law's church, and I think there was three people on stage, and it was fantastic. It was like a guitar. I think it was two guitars and a cajon, and it was great worship. You don't need all these, even though I said I love the ambient, you know, the angelic sound to it. You don't need it. Like a lot of, I feel like they're just trying to put on this look, and I have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Lucian's pastor, I had a conversation with him one time where he said he was a worship leader at the time professionally, and he was talking about how there's this weird sense of pride that can creep in as the worship leader where you're trying to create the best worship experience possible for the congregation. But it's that you're also looking at is what can I do to make this, you know, an amazing experience for everybody. And so you're as the worship leader, becoming this orchestrator of spiritual momentum, as opposed to just being like, hey, we have words about God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. How about we let that kind of be the main focus, and we just try to just keep the music concise enough that everybody else can join in. I think to a certain extent, the level with which the production exists, there's got to be some room for taste, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got no issue if we got drums and a bass and a couple of guitars up there and keyboards.
No, I'm fine if that, like, use what you got is, you know, kind of what I'm...
But, no, and I'm not saying that is what you're saying, but I agree, like, the second Life Church got the big lights, I was like, okay, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is doing nothing. All it's doing is making us look cooler. And I don't see how that does anything. I think it feels like, and I'm not saying this is the case, but it feels like a growing church's bid for legitimacy,
mm-hmm.
almost as if legitimacy is obtained by having that mega church feel.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
So, like, there was a point where Lifekin was constantly having these... I mean, they were really cool. They would do all this crazy woodwork and make these giant backdrops that with, like, Edison bulbs and pallet wood. And you'd have... literally, you had smoke machines and moving light shows that would be choreographed to the songs we were playing that week. And, you know...
Rotary spotlights lights blinding you, the audience in the eyes when they're trying to
look. Yeah, the spotlights would shoot out and run over the audience and then recenter on the person singing. And it had this very, like, it had this feel of this, like, mega church production.
And it's a very, fine line, I feel like, too.
Yeah, and, yeah. Like, it did nothing. It did nothing in any, I don't know. Maybe somebody found Christ because of the light show. I doubt it. It feels more like the worship team is going, look, we're proving that we're legitimate. We are a church that can be taken seriously because we have all these flashy things.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it could also be a problem of, we have these worship people that we like and we want them on the team and we want to hire them. We want to give them jobs. And now these people have to prove that their employment is worth being given.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing these extra things. That could also just be a component of, like, hey, I have a job. I'm trying to do my job well. So I'm on this. This is the role I was given. I'm trying to do my job to the best of my ability. Cause I don't, the guy who was the driving force between the lights and the backdrops, I don't think that was his ultimate goal, was to, like, be flashy. I think he was just trying to do his job well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that element. But ultimately, yeah, I think the second your lights are doing anything more than making it visible, they're unnecessary.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't know that you need to be visible. I read about a guy's experience going to a church where the band was in the back of the room,
mm-hmm.
and you just looked at an empty wall, and I don't really hate that, actually.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up later, but I have a friend that ended up switching denominations. So he's like, yeah, it feels weird, like, the worship team's on stage. Like, he prefers them off the side and, like, just have a cross or something up there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could add one more thing just on the lights, then Lou, your type of takeover or anything, but kind of what just rubbed me wrong. I remember it's like back in high school, I went to a huge church in the area. I think it was by the congregation, was like a top 100 church. So it was a big church and they had all those fancy lights and everything. I didn't think much of it. But then one Sunday comes out and is like asking for, he's doing the tithing thing, which you obviously have to do as pastor. But I'm looking around like, you know, each of these lights is like $200 a pop. And I'm like, we could be spending that on outreach or doing something better with that money instead of this light show. And I just felt like it was, like, yeah, it's one person might be saved by it, but how much more as Money Man Rob is, how much more bang for your buck could you get going into giving it to outreach instead of blinding people in the crowd's eyes? And that's kind of what's rubbed me wrong and kind of jaded me to most of like that style worship and that, or that presentation of worship. So,
do you think people are not following God because of the lights, or like,
no,
what is,
no, I think it's just, it became popular and everyone feel like Mike was saying, they feel like they have to do the popular thing. And I just think it's a waste of money and we could be putting it towards more like ministry and things like that. I don't think most people, I don't think are doing it with, you know, selfish ambition or whatever, but I think it's just kind of where we've went as a Western version of worship that's corporate and, you know, produced and everything.
Now, that said, I do think there probably is a decent amount of selfish ambition if you cast a broad net across the country.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sermon that we heard, listened to at my church this Sunday, the pastor was talking about why you serve, like why you volunteer, why you do ministry, whether it's volunteer or if you're a professional. And a lot of times people will have their ministry be this thing that makes up for their feelings of moral inadequacy, or they use it to boost their self-esteem and it becomes part of their identity. So I think for some people, their role as a worship leader is less about, I have this relationship with Jesus and I want to share it with people in my congregation. And it is more of a, like, the state of this worship production reflects the internal reality of, like, how I view myself. And so there probably is a fair amount of people out there who are doing it for the wrong reason. And it's more about stroking their own ego. But I don't think that the lights inherently mean you aren't following Jesus. But I do agree with Rob that there's just better things that could be done with that money than... Like, Northridge, that place is absolutely gigantic. One of the biggest complaints I hear about it is that it feels impossible to...
It's like a rock show. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, I'm not going to go there. It's like a rock show. But thankfully, there's a lot of other churches in the area.
So. Yeah, it's just the one I can think of that is huge. It's probably the closest mega church physically to me. But, like, you could plant a church. You know, you could break your congregation off. You could go out and make disciples elsewhere. You know, you could have like limits where it's like, we have all these people and all this money. What if we were sending people out? Which is a very much the model of church that I grew up in. And it is a weird model. It's not a common thing, but yeah, I think it's just, there's so many better ways you can steward your resources than to let yourself become, a cheap rock show. Because also, at the end of the day, if we're trying to win people over by, look how cool and flashy and awesome our music is, I'm sorry, there's not a church on the planet that can offer a better music-going concert experience than what the world has to offer. You should be offering something different than what the world has to offer. And so trying to emulate pop culture is, I don't think that's effective. Or even what we're called to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Lou, I feel like you're sitting there silently cringing at all the negativity right now.
No, I mean, like, I don't know, just thinking. I think since I've been kind of working for the church a tad, I've been seeing how the sausage is made, I guess, in a sense. And church finances scare the mess out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about finances and we're talking about all that stuff. I will say I remember my dad waking me up randomly on a Sunday and being like, hey, we're going to church. And me being like, what the heck is church? What is going on? And I remember walking to this massive building and I remember seeing the band and being like, oh my gosh. This is like a concert. This is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I was like, I like rock music. I think this is awesome. I get to go to concert every Sunday. So But I totally get what you guys are saying. Mm. Like,
it could be just that's not our style, and we found ways to justify it, which is something I would 100% do. But I think there are some valid arguments for
but
it.
But also,
against it.
The light setup when Lou first started coming to church was drastically different than what we're describing.
Yeah.
I would have been when I was like 22, 23 that this light started getting the crazy lights. This was just people with instruments who... Now, to be fair, also the lineup they had, the musicians they had playing...
Dude, they ripped, man.
Dude, it was ridiculous. There were a lot of people... A lot of people who have had moral failings since, but just a lot of people who could have been professionals had the dice rolled their way.
I just didn't expect you to say that, but it's true.
Well, I started like thinking names, and I was like, "Oh, well, like half of those are good people."
It's hard to be an artist, man. It's hard to be an artist. Yeah. I was talking to my pastor about this, and it didn't even occur to me that churches, like, it's not, you know, it's not what its main thing to do, but I think a part of church that people don't think about is that, like, you figure out how God wired you. And the church's job is to, like, stoke that part of you. So, like, if you are made to, for me, like, I feel like I was called to work with children, and so I worked for the Sunday school. Like, for other people, you know, you have this passion for playing drums, and so then you play in the band. I think in other people, like, maybe one of their passions is to set up lights and to create this really cool light show. And that is how God wired you. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but
I mean, I can give you my gut reaction.
I feel like there's a limit.
I just don't know. Yeah, I feel like my gut reaction is if you love to play drums, we should get you, and you're good, and you're not going to be a distraction, we should get you on stage and have you play drums.
True.
If you love to work a soundboard, we should get you behind the soundboard. If you love to set up lights and do a light show, I would like to introduce you to the cafe and teach you how to group.
I was going to say, like, you don't want someone just doing this big drum solo in the middle of nowhere. Like,
For sure, yeah.
So I feel like there's a line. And you can always tweak lights, like, even if it's just overhead lights, you can always tweak. But, I mean, again, that's just my preferred worship is not all that stuff, so. If you like to hang lights, leave a comment down below, and we can talk about,
I would love to hear dissenting opinions.
Where's the pro-light crowd?
The pro-light.
Pro-lighters, where you at? We're gonna get canceled for sure. Anyways, and that's one thing, I mean, it's a positive, but I feel like you can definitely tell the difference between, like, someone that's doing it, like, as a job or, you know, trying to be more primitive than someone, like, just unabashedly worshiping God no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like, someone from our camp, he would do worship sometimes, and he was not the best singer, but he knew how to, like, him being unabashedly worshiping made it comfortable and easier for everyone else and just led to a better worship style. Or, like, worship experience, I should say. So it's like, I don't think you need all that polish, too. Like, it's fantastic. Someone's out there, you know, sometimes they hit the wrong key, but they're just worshiping, and then you're like, oh, now I don't have to worry about myself, so I can just go and worship.
Yeah, and there is... it's interesting. So, for me, the biggest thing I like in a worship leader is feeling a sense of authenticity, which is really what I like in all music and most
art. I like
that
in life.
Yeah, in general, I just want you to, like, I want to believe that you believe it. And so, like, I always loved when Dylan led worship because I could sense when he was authentic, and it makes it easier for me to engage. And so, like, Nate, he would play bass at Life Canton. I think he might be at Lou's church now.
Yes,
And dude would get up there. He would be barefoot, play bass, and just, like, he bopped so hard that he was basically dancing, and I loved it. You know, like, that. There's this energy, and the thing I love is that they're leading you in worship through authentic worship. And then on the flip side, you have a guy like Hank, who he plays bass and guitar on the worship band at my current church. And dude is just an iron rod. There is no in what's going on with Hank's worship. But you can tell that it's genuine and sincere. And so I love when Hank will lead a song, just like I loved when Nate would just get up there and go hog wild and dance around. And the thing that makes it is, oh, look at me getting up and dancing and performing. Because we have a singer where I've been told, like, look, by other people, they say, hey, I know this person personally, and they're sincere. And I just can't see it. Like, for me, it always feels like, oh, getting up there, I'm doing the worship leader thing. Not our actual worship leader, but like I'm the one leading the song, and my hands go up at the right times, and I say the non-written things just right, and it never lands for me. And yeah, I don't know how to describe it beyond that, but like if someone's just up there and I can feel that they're sincere and buy into that sincerity, that's really all I need to then follow you and be able to reach a place where I can worship more genuinely. But then there's the flip side of, like, ultimately, I shouldn't be letting the worship leaders dictate my ability to worship.
Yeah.
So that gets tricky.
So, Mike, what do you think about background instruments?
I mean, personally, I don't like them. I don't know if I've told this story on the pod or not. We use them at the church I'm at. Bothers me, but whatever. It's not that big a deal. There was a week where I want to say the whole freaking electric guitar was canned in that week. And there was a moment where the guitar came in so hot that I literally, like, popped up. Like, I was kind of slumped down, and I, like, stood up straight, got up on my tiptoes, and my head was like shooting left and right trying to find the electric guitar player, and I almost actually got the worship leader completely by accident, but I almost got her to crack. Like, afterwards she was like, so how'd you like that electric guitar? Because from the audience she could tell, like, oh, I know what he's doing right now. He's looking for that guitar and it is not there. So for me, for somebody who has an ear for music, I can find it incredibly distracting. But again, the average person gonna have no clue, and it doesn't matter. It is not to my taste.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like something like a light show, like a canned guitar versus a fog machine are two different things. And to some people, they might not understand the difference, but I think there's a level of nuance between, hey, we're filling in the music and trying to make the song more full and make it easier to get brought along the emotional journey. Which is another thing I have opinions on. I think there's kind of two thoughts. I think there's a lot of things in worship that can go one of two ways. And for me, I like my worship to be more of, I'm connecting verbally with the lyrics of the song. There are other styles of music where the music and the anthemic nature and the repetition kind of builds to create this emotional response within you. And that feels kind of cheap to me, but I don't know that it's inherently wrong. And so that might be where my dislike for canned music stems from, because it's inherently leaning towards this desire to bring people along musically on an emotional journey.
It's also lying. Whereas I would, why are you lying in church?
Lying's a stretch.
I'd kid.
But yeah, ultimately, I would rather be brought along intellectually. And I think that just comes down to, are you a thinker or a feeler? Mm-hmm. So there probably isn't a right or wrong answer on that. But
Lou, what's like your favorite, or what do you prefer over, like, do you prefer more of a traditional, you know, like low-key, I guess more of a camp feel, or do you like the more, like, Old Life Church Canton? Like, what's your preferred? What do you think is, for you, do you find better for worship and things like that?
I cannot, like, express this enough. I could listen to worship on a tin can.
Okay.
And it would not change how I feel about worship. Mm-hmm. Now, do I like music? I love music. It's not even considered music to me at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I didn't know if there's anything you preferred. I was just
trying to get
more into conversation.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I don't think I prefer... I could do worship at a techno club.
Ooh.
And it would all be the same to me.
Yeah.
Or at least I'll try to.
And there is an aspect, I feel like, where if you're using, to an extent, as long as you're not using it to, like, prep yourself up, if you're using God's, like, the abilities he gave you, that is worship. So you are worshiping God by using his abilities, you know?
Yes, I agree to that. Amen, brother.
So catch Lou at the next local techno worship night.
Jesus rave, let's go.
You effing know it, big dog.
Anything else? Stuff. Don't add Cheerios to your worship song. We know that's one.
Yeah, I mean, every person has their limit. And, I don't want to hear about you sweeping up Cheerios.
I'm going to have to find this worship song. If you know what song it is, leave it in the comments below for other people that are curious what the song is. Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever heard that one. But my gut tells me it's by the Newsboys.
I don't think they're doing worship music anymore.
I don't think they are either, but this doesn't sound like a song that came out last week. So,
yeah. I mean, if we want to talk about ranting on something, I could rant about Bob Duco for hours. Cause that's where I heard the damn song. On his station.
I don't know. But that can be it for another time, you know. That's not really worship, I'd say.
No, sorry. Sorry.
Is there anything else you wanted to hit, Mike? Since we're the negative Nancy's here.
Everything, for me, I think it's probably a good place to start rapping.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Lou, what do you think of rap and worship music?
Ooh.
Get it, see what I did there?
Andy. Oh, no. Oh, no, you might have found it.
Oh.
In I like rap worship music. Rap in worship music. You might have found it.
Oh, we got it. All right.
Me to spit a few bars of Come That Found?
You might have found it. I'm not a big fan, but I will be quiet about it.
So that's why it's been so quiet this episode.
I mean, I don't like rap. All right, to be fair, I don't like, if it's a rock song, I do not like somebody busting out 5 bars or 6 bars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's ever been a time where I'm like, oh, I love that. It's great.
Go for it.
No, that's it. That's it for me.
So what was your thoughts on the spoken word craze that went through there for like a year or two? They had spoken word to everything.
Liked it. It's good.
All right. I just know it's similar to rap, and, you know, it's more like poetic and kind of more on a cadence, but not quite.
No, it was good. It was the guy was like... I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he was like, oh, man, it's been years. It's been like 10 years. But, yeah, there's been some good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just at Life Church. And there was kind of that spoken word everywhere, I feel like. It was really big there a year or two. But, yeah. Let us know what you guys like. What's your favorite worship songs? Just that life in general. How are you doing? Hey, Topper out there, we appreciate you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Top Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please give us a like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, check the comments down below, leave us a review. And other than that, we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Bye bye.
How you doing, Topper? You're looking pretty good today.
Ooh.
I see you.
Sit on that. Ooh.